now
on your Dodger station. I'm Tom Looney, slaving over a hot microphone. AM 570's Dodger Insider and MLB Network's TV talker, David Vesey. We'll have the latest Dodger tittle-tattle next with off-season Dodger talk. Craig Sager died today. He was the guy with the flashy jackets on the NBA sidelines for 26 years.
This battle, man, there's no person that I've ever met in my life who wanted to live more.
It's Charles Barkley talking about Craig Sager tonight on TNT. Shaq was there, too.
He was a great man. And, you know, what I loved about Craig is he always asked the right question. He's very, very professional. You know, in L.A. we had a lot of stuff going on, but he never touched on that. You know?
Craig Sager was 66. In the coming days, every NBA team will honor Sager with a moment of silence, which we'll do now for Craig Sager. Rest in peace. This is AM 570, L.A. Sports.
This is L.A.'s home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk, our final Dodger Talk of the before Christmas. This is the final one before Big 12 25. We are here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. The phone number is 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Coming up at 8:30 tonight, Andy McCullough from the LA Times will join us, since he is allowed to talk about Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. Those two guys are not allowed to do it. Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi are not allowed to do it because it is not official yet. From what I understand, this may not become official until early next week. There is a chance one or two of one or both become official tomorrow. I know Justin Turner just got back to the States after being in Curacao and Jamaica, enjoying the time off over there. And obviously he has to clear the physicals, which he will. And Kenley Jansen has to get here at some point to clear the physicals, and he will. So it's just a matter of the technicalities of making this official. Also, too, I'm sure Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi are still working on ways to manipulate the 40-man roster, because at this point in time, they only have one spot available for one of those two guys. So they have to open up another one for both of those players, Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner, who reportedly have agreed to contracts to come back to the Dodgers. Kenley, 5 years and $80 million. Justin Turner, 4 years, $64 million. And Adam Katz, who is Kenley Jansen's agent, gave some really good insight to MLB Network Radio earlier this week about how the decision-making process went down for Kenley.
Well, my instructions early on were to explore the market and extract positions and extract best positions. So we were authentic when we were out there. And at his wedding on Saturday, I think something pivoted for him. I think it was being with his teammates and his family. He got a jolt of how important family and continuity was. And he called me over the weekend and said, he was having difficulty processing leaving the Dodgers, and instructed me to work hard to get it done. So in the beginning, we were authentic and in exploration of the market and what was out there and the other clubs. And he pivoted over the weekend. He wanted to be a Dodger, no matter what.
That was Adam Katz on MLB Network Radio earlier this week talking about the process for Kenley Jansen, and I'm sure it helped him realize that he should be a Dodger, with Justin Turner, Scott Van Slyke, and Yasiel Puig all making the effort to be there last Saturday for his wedding. And Kenley loves his teammates and likes to be comfortable, and it would have been tough for him to walk away from the Dodgers and move to the East Coast and play for the Nationals or the Marlins. And, you know, I know people put this in a way where he turned down a lot more money to come back to the Dodgers. The facts are he just turned down $5 million, and we always say that, and you've seen players make the mistake of going for the top dollar, even if it is just $5 million more, and being unhappy in their situation, and maybe that environment is not conducive to them being as good as they can be. And I think Kenley made the right decision turning down $5 million. He's going to be making $80 million over the next 5 years if he doesn't opt out of his contract, which he can do in 2019. As far as Justin Turner goes, we all said this was something that was a perfect fit. The Dodgers needed to make it happen because not only what he does on the field, but what he does off the field in the community, working with the Dream Center, working with the Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles, just paying visits to those kids on his own without cameras being there. And he is going to be putting on a celebrity golf tournament, the second annual Justin Turner golf tournament, to celebrate him re-signing with the Dodgers. And you can get information at JustinTurnerFoundation.com. That's where you get the information. That's where you can register to play golf. It will be January 30th at Sherwood Golf Course in Westlake Village. And this year, they are excited to announce the proceeds for the event will go to help children and families that have been affected by cancer or blood disorders. They are also going to continue to support the Dream Center and their veterans program. So a great cause on January 30th, the second annual Justin Turner golf tournament. And you could get information at JustinTurnerFoundation.com and sign up and register for that great event. And last year it was out there at the golf course by the Rose Bowl. This year, stepping it up a little bit and going to be at Sherwood Country Club in Westlake Village. And what a great event it will be to celebrate Justin re-signing with the Dodgers. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. My question to you tonight, though, is how far away are the Dodgers from the Cubs? Where is the balance of power, and how far away are the Dodgers with them re-signing Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner? 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Can the offense compensate for what is basically the same starting rotation that kind of came up short after Kershaw and Rich Hill in that seven-game series? Also, obviously, the Dodger roster is not fully complete, like the Death Star is not fully complete at this point in time. But the bullpen still needs completion, and that is something that obviously Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi will address before spring training and can still be addressed during the course of the season. So where do you think the Dodgers are in comparison to the mighty Cubs? Because they are building a dynasty. They lost Chapman but brought in another very good closer in Wade Davis, and they seem to continue to reload and have a very deep farm system to not only call up to the major leagues but also trade away a guy like Jorge Soler to bring in a major league all-star piece in Wade Davis. Also, too, an interesting question as we get deeper and deeper into the offseason. We had this debate last year, and we're in the same spot as we were a year ago. Can the Dodgers win with Yasiel Puig? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Last year, we all know, a disappointing season yet again for him. He was sent down to the minors because, A, he was not producing. B, he was being disruptive as far as not being serious about his craft. And the results showed. He hit .263, had 11 home runs, and 45 RBIs. Not to mention, too, in the postseason, he was just 4-for-14 with no extra base hits. And my previous question to you is how far the Dodgers are away from the Cubs. Well, you got to be closer to the Cubs by having more playoff performers like Andre Ethier, Justin Turner, Adrian Gonzalez, Chase Utley, Corey Seager. You got to add on to that. And is Yasiel Puig a winning player? Do you think the Dodgers, no matter how many pieces they add, can compete with the Cubs for the National League title and even a World Series title if he is in right field for the Dodgers. And if we're talking about World Series and not just another regular season championship, Yasiel Puig, in his career in the postseason, does not have a single home run, has only driven in five runs, and if you look at his splits, a .263 batting average, ironic that it's the same as his regular season batting average of 2016. His on-base percentage is .325, and his slugging percentage in the postseason is just .329. Do the Dodgers have to move Yasiel Puig? That's the question, along with how far are the Dodgers away from catching the Chicago Cubs. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570, LA Sports. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock on our final off-season Dodger Talk show until Santa Claus comes down your chimney. And I guess in some ways, Andrew Friedman is not your daddy, but he is your baseball Santa Claus, bringing back Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. And they are not official yet, but from what I understand, may be official as soon as Monday of next week. Maybe as soon as tomorrow. You never know. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. The question tonight is, how far away are the Dodgers from the Cubs, bringing back really the core group of a year ago that was just two wins away from the World Series that came up short against the Chicago Cubs? Also, too, do you think the Dodgers can be that World Series winning team with Yasiel Puig on the club? And I'm not just talking about the off-the-field stuff and maybe the distractions in the clubhouse, but how about on the field? He has wilted under the spotlight of the postseason with just five runs driven in since 2013, no home runs, and basically has a slugging percentage of .330. Do you think the Dodgers can win with that type of right field production? 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Andy McCullough from the LA Times will join us at the bottom of the hour. Also, too, I wanted to bring this up to you and get your perspective on it, because I've experienced it with the players over the last 5 years traveling with the Dodgers. This rookie hazing thing that is coming to a halt because of the new collective bargaining agreement and baseball and the players basically putting a lot of different restrictions on what rookies can wear as far as the costumes that are permitted. And I think a lot of it had to do with Major League Baseball's ambassador for inclusion, and that's Billy Beane. And obviously, he's doing great things, trying to make things a little bit more open and accepted in sports, in a sport also, too, that has a lot of machismo in it. And I think he's doing a great job with it. But do you think it's a little bit of an overreaction to put so many parameters on guys just having fun? And I will say this. I don't approve of posting this kind of a rookie, I don't even want to call it hazing, just what's going on with the rookies dressing up. I'm not a big guy on posting this stuff on social media if the guys are on the plane or on the tarmac, but I know ball clubs are doing it and they're having fun with it. Players are doing it as well. And over the last 5 years, these are the costumes the Dodger rookies were, I guess, told to wear. Last year, it was those cheerleader uniforms that Ross Stripling was very proud of and posted again that he is not going to be able to wear, or rookies are not going to be able to wear this anymore. The year before that, in 2015, was wrestling costumes. Corey Seager dressed up as the Ultimate Warrior, for example. 2014, it was superhero costumes. Jock Peterson was in a full costume that did not show any skin as Captain America. Pedro Baez was dressed up as a teenage mutant ninja turtle. I don't think that offended any of you out there. In 2013, there was like different Halloween costumes that were a little bit more skimpy. I was wearing one that was a Reno 911 cop uniform that you see that's pretty tight, and I would say it's close to rubber as it can be, cheap rubber in a Halloween costume. And I was lucky enough and fortunate enough that the players accepted me into their inner circle and included me in their rookie dress up night. Yeah. Yep, yep, and that was a Nick Punto and Skip Schumacher production back then. And I don't think in the last 5 years any Dodger player has really been that uncomfortable wearing whatever they've put in their locker. Yeah, are they saying, like, do I really have to do this? Or if there's a rookie that did it 1 year before but still has rookie status, do I really have to do it again? I really think this is an overreaction, and I don't think you can make everybody happy, and I think you're going to offend you cannot offend the masses. There's always going to be somebody offended, and I think this is a little bit of an overreaction, and I think it's a swing and miss on the part of the union head, Tony Clark, who really swung and missed in much bigger issues. Number one, agreeing to basically a salary cap for international players. Number two, basically agreeing to a soft cap, which is getting harder and harder every time for the players with these luxury taxes, that with the penalties for signing free agents, with the qualifying offer and the draft picks, and then the luxury tax of teams being penalized for going over a certain amount with payroll. And in 5 years, I think the players are going to have a very difficult time trying to get some of these things back. And I think Tony Clark is to blame for it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Arcadia. Dan, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Dan.
Hi, David. I wondered if the Dodgers are going to offer Yasmani Grandal a multi-year contract.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Dan, because he is eligible for arbitration. So we'll see whether or not they agree to just a one-year deal or two or three. What would you do? Do you think he is worthy of multiple years?
Absolutely. I don't think there's many catchers, especially in the National League, that can help you as much as Yasmani Grandal. And the thing I would like is just that he gets more rest and so he isn't so much beat up at the end of the season.
All right, thanks for the phone call. I'm not sure if that's going to happen this year because Austin Barnes is going to be Grandal's backup, and it seems like the Dodgers want to bring Barnes along slowly and really have the last couple of years. And if last year was any indication, Grandal is going to play at least 5 of the 7 days of the week. Let's go out to Whittier. Robert, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Dave, good evening. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to address the question that you asked a few minutes back in regards to whether or not we gained any ground on the Cubs. And I think that we definitely have. Although we haven't gone out and made any blockbuster moves, we kind of stayed put. And as you put it, we managed to retain the core that we had last season. And that's a proven system. We already know that it works. We already know where it can get us. And hopefully we can get another opportunity to get that deep into the playoffs. Now, that being said,
My question to you, Robert, is what about the third starter in the rotation? I mean, Kenta Maeda held his own, I guess, in one or two postseason games. But right now, the only two guys I feel confident throwing in a seven-game series are Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill.
And that's a good point. But just kind of going back to how many injuries that we had this past season, you kind of have to look at that as a fluke.
Wait a minute. What about Kershaw's back, too, Robert? Don't you need to have some insurance for him, too?
That's a good point as well. I just think that we haven't really had the opportunity to kind of showcase some of these young arms that we have in our system just because of the injuries that we've had to them. And I think it's a whole different ballgame if we actually get them healthy and in a situation where they can come out and perform.
All right, Robert. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I guess the other guy I would feel good about is Julio Urias, since he brought up the young pitchers. And Julio is definitely getting into better shape this offseason to make his body be able to last more innings than he will ever have pitched in his professional career. And if he continues on the trajectory that he was on last year, I think there's a very good chance that he could be a very solid number three starter for the Dodgers this year. And maybe, too, if he continues to mature in the way that he did during last year with each and every start, who knows? He could be a really good number two for the Dodgers, but that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid that barely pitched 120, 130 innings last year. So I think the Dodgers definitely are aware of that, but I believe that Urias can definitely be a solid number three, if not a number two, by the end of next year. Let's go out to Buena Park. Isabel, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Isabel.
Oh, hey, David. Before I forget, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Family.
Thank you. You too.
And happy holiday. Thank you. First of all, I've been looking forward. I said you were going to have Andrew Freeman on tonight.
Well, he can't talk about this deal until it's official.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I can wait till after the holiday. Anyway, first of all, I think they are doing a very good job. They are kind of getting to the curve, but I'm sorry, I'm tired of Puig. Not until they get rid of Puig, I had enough with him. He haven't proved anything, and I'm sorry you big yourself Puig fan, but let's face it. If we want to get a championship, we just he haven't proved anything all these years we had him. So anyway, happy holiday, David.
Thanks, Isabel. Merry Christmas to you. Isabel from Buena Park holding me accountable. I did say maybe Andrew Friedman would grace us with his presence tonight, but obviously there's no reason to put him on the show if he can't talk about Turner and Jansen re-signing with the Dodgers because those deals are not official, and who knows what else he has up his sleeve between then and now when those deals do become official. And going back to Yasiel Puig, I think the question needs to be asked. Is he a winning player? Is he part of the winning formula? And I think the Dodgers have been able to compensate for his lack of production in the postseason and really his inconsistencies during the regular season throughout the last 2.5 years, maybe 3 years now. Ever since he made the All-Star team the first half of the 2014 season, he really hasn't been the same player. Do you think he is part of the winning formula for the Dodgers? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. I think at the very least, there is a great pause in everybody's minds that are watching the Dodgers, evaluating the Dodgers, of whether or not Puig is a winning player for this particular team. There's a very good chance if he got a change of scenery, he may get more serious. And from what Andrew Friedman told us last week in Washington, D.C., he is expected to be back in Los Angeles after the new year to work with Dodgers strength and conditioning coach Brandon McDaniel to get in condition for the season. And I guess he's working out in Miami as well. So let's see where he's at when the bell rings in spring training. And I think we touched upon this as well last year in spring training. Yeah, he came in, he was on time, and he was in good shape. But did he really sustain that throughout the first half of the season? I would say he didn't. That's why the Dodgers sent him down to the minor leagues to get more serious about baseball. And that's part of the reason why they were shopping him at the trade deadline. So it's not just about day one of spring training, but it's about sustaining it for 162. And that's what Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts were preaching to him before spring training last year. And it seemed like it went in one year and went out the next. Let's go out to our guy, Gardena Manuel. What's up?
What is up, the mayor of Burbank, David Vasse? Hey, man, just want to wish you and all the Dodger fans, especially Isabel, a Merry Christmas. Do not go kissing cars in this rain, L.A., but I got to give it up to my man, Justin Turner, the Red Samurai, to Kenley Jansen. We are so glad you guys are going to stay home. Bring us that title next year.
All right, Manuel. Merry Christmas to you. And I think Dodger fans got a very great surprise in both of those guys coming back to the Dodgers. Jansen for 5 years and Justin Turner for 4 more years. And don't forget about Justin's golf tournament on January 30th at Sherwood Country Club in Westlake Village. I actually got married there. How about that when I tell Turner that? Ronnie was there. Yeah. I didn't invite Turner. We didn't know each other back then. And to be honest with you, maybe Turner was on the bubble. If, like, I knew him, he might be on the bubble. Maybe, you know, how you send out invites. If you've ever been married before, you got the A-list where you send out the first wave of invites of the people that you really want there. Then if you get a few no's, I can't be there, then you send out the next wave. And then you got the third wave. So maybe Turner would have got into Sherwood through the Sherwood gates on second wave. He would have been in second wave. But hopefully I could get through the gates this time around on January 30th for Justin Turner's second annual golf tournament to celebrate not only him re-signing with the Dodgers, but also all the great things he does here in the city of Los Angeles. And to register, go to JustinTurnerFoundation.com. One guy that may or may not be there, I'm not sure if he could get into Sherwood, that's Andy McCullough from the L.A. Times. He'll join us next right here on Nissan Dodger Talk on AM 570 L.A. Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. Phone lines are open at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. But right now we welcome in the best beat writer that covers the Dodgers. And if you ever read his stories, it's poetic justice after every game. The words that he uses to describe every swing and miss, every home run, every pitch thrown is beautiful. And that's the man for the L.A. Times, Andy McCullough. You could follow him on Twitter, at McCullough Times. Andy, do you celebrate Christmas?
I guess technically, yeah, sure.
You don't seem like a guy that really would get really excited for a holiday like Christmas.
You're saying I might have problems with my happiness level?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, aren't you just a ray of sunshine on a rainy day in Los Angeles?
All right, I got another question for you before we get to baseball. So, Justin Turner is having his second annual golf tournament at a very swanky country club in Westlake Village that my father-in-law paid for when I got married. And I said, if I knew Justin back then, he would probably be on my second wave of invites. Do you think you and I, if Justin and Courtney with a K were ever to get married, we would be on the first wave of invites to their nuptials?
Oh, I think you definitely would. Me, it would depend a lot on how his splits were. My standing within that household depends on how his splits are against lefties.
So if he does better against lefties and you tweet about it, you might get on the first wave.
Yeah, I mean, if you mention that he's, like, outstanding against righties and happens to have a deficiency against lefties on occasion, you know, that might get you in trouble.
By the way, that was an anomaly last year. He's actually pretty good against lefties in his career.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look, and especially, like, you look at 2014, he hit, like, it was almost, like, identical. So, yeah, I mean, I would think there's reason to believe it'll bounce back in that regard.
All right, I don't want to get you in any more deep hot water about this, so we'll just move on to what is not official yet, but we all know is going to happen. The Dodgers re-signed Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. With everything that you had been told leading up to this, are you surprised the Dodgers kept both players?
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely surprised. I mean, I wasn't super surprised about Rich Hill. Wasn't super surprised about Justin Turner. But for them to go out and spend the money on Kenley Jansen, I think is definitely an upset. And I think it's an upset if you talk to people around the game, you know, from other teams' clubs. I mean, the mood, you know, kind of the writing on the wall, or the buzz, as they say, in D.C. after it became clear that the Marlins had a five-year, $80 million offer on the table, was that, you know, the mood was that the Dodgers probably weren't going to match that. I mean, there was no evidence that they would. They had yet to give out a free agent contract worth more than, you know, $48 million under Andrew Friedman's tenure. Kenley Jansen is obviously a great closer, you know, one of the top two, top three in baseball in terms of relief. But, you know, that's a lot of money to pay a guy who pitches generally one inning. And so it was something of an upset. But, you know, you give credit to the organization, give credit to ownership for being willing to put up the money. I mean, you know, it's hard to argue with the Dodgers as one of the, you know, the better contenders to unseat the Cubs going into this season.
Andy, this definitely was out of the ordinary of Andrew Friedman's baseball history of running ball clubs going back to Tampa Bay, giving a closer this many years and this much money. Why do you think he went outside the box of everything that told us with the history of him remaking bullpens in a small market like Tampa Bay? Why did he decide that Kenley was worthy of 5 years and $80 million?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that we can get into in terms of, like, the scouting profile and all that sort of stuff. But the biggest reason is they're the Dodgers. I mean, you can afford to do this if you're the Dodgers, you know. And Andrew Friedman has done a really good job in his career of building bullpens on the cheap, for sure. I mean, he did it again basically in 2016. But it's a lot easier to build a bullpen on the cheap when you have an anchor at the back end. So they could afford to do it. And that's what, you know, allows them to do this. And I think, but if you look at Jansen, like, the argument for him, you know, not, like, falling off the cliff aging-wise, if he's got an elite weapon in his cut fastball, there's really no signs that it's falling off the table. You know, he was better than ever last season. He's incredibly strong-willed. He's incredibly team-oriented. And he hasn't been pitching for all that long. So, you know, yeah, there are some physical concerns. You know, obviously there's the heart condition. There's that's the problem with his foot. But, you know, his arm doesn't have a ton of, doesn't have a ton of wear and tear on it. So there's reason to believe that he could hold up maybe for a little bit longer than your average sort of reliever.
Andy McCullough from the LA Times is our guest. You could follow him at McCullough Times on Twitter. All right, Andy, not only have the physicals not been completed yet for part of the reason why it's not official, but maybe the Dodgers have other moves up their sleeve that they want to make official simultaneously. Do you think, with the 40-man roster where it's at right now, 39 spots taken, do you think Andrew Friedman has something else in the works that is going to be coinciding with these moves when it's official?
I wouldn't be surprised. They're maintaining talks, you know, to continue to, you know, reshape the roster. I mean, obviously they've been looking to find a home for Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy and Hyun-Jin Ryu. You know, there's some, like, smaller things. Like, I think, you know, you could probably put Yimi Garcia on the 60-day if you needed to. You know, if he underwent Tommy John surgery, you know, so I believe you could clear a space that way. You know, you could, you know, DFA a guy like Chris Hatcher or something. So they're continuing to do work to augment the roster, but I don't think they need to, like, swing a trade before they can announce these deals.
Do you think the Dodgers and Twins can come to an agreement for Brian Dozier? We all know the Dodgers are very reluctant in giving any of their good prospects to get really good talent. Do you think they'll be able to pry him away?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's just the thing about the Dodgers, they just match up so well in this regard. Like, there's not a ton of other teams who have a big interest in Brian Dozier and have the prospect base that can make a trade. So, you know, I think it's going to take a little bit longer. You know, you're probably going to see a deal based around a guy like Jose De Leon or something like that. But then it comes down to arguing over, you know, who the second and third guys in the deal or whatever. And, you know, as just based on conversations with some executives from other teams in D.C., I mean, the Dodgers really like their guys. I mean, they're not giving up their guys for cheap. So, you know, there's one of the reasons they weren't, you know, like there was a deal with Wade Davis when maybe they could have jumped in there and offered something better than Jorge Soler. But, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's just, they value their prospects and that's understandable, but I think at some point, you know, you kind of have to just do the painful thing and fork some over. And I would expect that, you know, that they'll get that done in the next month or so.
It seems like the Brian Dozier talks are more real than the talks for Logan Forsythe. Is that the sense you get from the people you've talked to?
Yeah, I mean, Dozier's just a better player. So, if you're going to, you know, it'll take something real. So, like, it'll take something real to get Logan Forsythe, right? Like, the Rays aren't just – he's on the Rays, right? I always forget.
Yeah.
He could be on the Padres. You never know.
He was.
I mean, who knows? Did you know Mike Dunn got a 3-year contract?
I seen that.
If I asked you who Mike Dunn was going into today, would you have been able to ID him?
I am a big Don Mattingly fan, so I do keep tabs on the Marlins.
Yeah. Johnny's so upset he's losing Mike Dunn. Anyway.
They got Junichi Tozawa to replace him, all right? I know Donnie liked him.
Yeah. He's Junichi Tozawa is like Kenley Jansen, only less so. Anyway.
Wow.
It's going to take prospects to get Logan Forsythe, right? Like, if you're the Dodgers, you're going to want the fall avenues with Dozier to be closed off before you jump on a guy like Forsythe. And with, like, Ian Kinsler, who I think is a better player than Dozier, but is more expensive. I believe he has a no trade which would, you know, force the Dodgers to pay a lot of money to have to get him to, you know, to come over here. I just think with Dozier, it makes so much sense for both sides. It's just a matter of haggling over the prospects to figure out who, you know, which ones are going to go in the package.
Andy McCullough from the LA Times is our guest. You could follow him at McCullough Times. Not only baseball, but fringe music as well is posted on his Twitter timeline. Andy, as far as their starting rotation goes, I know they're trying to move Kazmir and McCarthy. Do you think they need one more starter to be competitive not only during the regular season in that area, but also in a seven-game series if they're talking about catching the Cubs?
Well, I think I don't think they need to make any more additions to the rotation right now. I think they definitely need to reevaluate in July and see where they're at because, you know, Julio Urias showed at times last year, you know, that he's an elite talent. And so if he, you know, becomes a little more polished and, you know, looks more like the guy that, you know, scouts think he's going to be down the road, then maybe you don't need a third starter. You know, then you've got, you know, theoretically Kershaw, Rich Hill, and Julio Urias, and, you know, you can go to war with those three guys and go pretty far. So I don't think they need to do anything right now. They have a ton of depth. They've got like 9 or 10 guys who profile as, you know, either big leaguers or very close to big leaguers in the mix. You know, I don't think it's something that really classifies as need, but if you look up in July, you know, it's something that they'll probably be, you know, knocking on other teams' doors for because every team needs pitching and they'll probably need a starter at some point during the summer.
For those of you that don't know, before Andy started covering the Dodgers last year, he covered the Royals with their two runs to the World Series, and before that, the Yankees as well. So he is a well-traveled man. And Andy, I'm curious to know from the people you spoke to in Washington, D.C. last week, how big of a swing and miss was it for the Players Association to agree to this collective bargaining agreement?
Well, I think on the surface, it definitely doesn't look like the players made a ton of progress, right? Like, it seems like they really, you know, the hill that they chose to die on was the international draft. And that's understandable. I can see why that's an important thing to not have that. But, it seemed like that was almost a bluff from ownership's perspective because just putting together an international draft is really, really difficult in terms of logistics and stuff like that. So, but, you know, the thing with the CBA is it's all about the unintended consequences, you know? Like, I don't think anyone expected when the last CBA was struck for the free agent compensation, draft pick compensation, you know, the qualifying offer to be like such a major sticking point. So I think we'll just see how teams adapt going forward in terms of like the harder cap on, you know, luxury tax spending and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like on the surface, I mean, you know, they basically put in something resembling a salary cap, which the players should not want. But, you know, we don't really know how it's going to play out yet. So I'm reticent to just say, like, they got crushed in negotiations and they're screwed going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you and I both lived through the cancellation of the 94 World Series. And part of the reason why was because Donald Fehr, the head of the Players Association, was reluctant and hard-lining against any sort of cap. And it seems like in these last two CBAs for the players, they've kind of flushed down the toilet what Marvin Miller and Donald Fehr fought for so many years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In 1994, I was really just concerned about Rich Kotite leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl. But
you're wasting your time that year.
It didn't work out, in case you were wondering. I mean, for sure, you know, you're the talk radio host. I'm the baseball writer. So
don't play that game.
No, I mean, I haven't thought about it critically enough to think if they're really pissing away, like, you know, Marvin Miller's legacy. I wouldn't necessarily say that. But, yeah, like, they're
flushing Donald Fehr's, I'll tell you that. He never would have agreed to something like this.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's pretty clear, like I said, that they prioritize certain things in the negotiation. And the luxury tax cap, essentially, was not one of them. And so the owners were able to get it in. And so I think, you know, when we'll see how it, you know, goes going forward, and then they'll try and if it becomes like a serious deterrent to spending, like if owners, you know, basically just if it brings the sort of player revenues down or whatever, then they'll reevaluate in a few years.
It already has. Artie Moreno with the Angels refuses to go over that number and basically to self-imposed hard salary cap.
Sure. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I am with you that I do not think baseball should have a cap. I think one of the great things about the union, the Major League Baseball Players Association, has been how strong it was, and we'd like to think they would continue to fight for that. But, you know, again,
I didn't know I had to give you Kershaw type of questions. That's something Kershaw would do. What's your question?
I don't know why you're yelling at me like I'm Tony Clark. I mean, I'm only 6'3". I'm not 6'8".
You're a tough Philly guy. That's why. Even though you look like a guy from Fresno, you're from Philly.
Yeah.
You're tough.
Ooh, the players are still going to be millionaires. Oh, gee, I'm very upset for all of them.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know about the vast McCullough fortune either.
Yeah, my mom's audiology empire.
Andy, before I let you go, I mentioned that on Twitter, at McCullough Times, great baseball knowledge and also great fringe music knowledge. So for the holidays, why don't you give everybody your top five musical suggestions to celebrate the holidays in Andy McCullough style?
Sure. I'm trying to think. You know, the best album I listened to in 2016.
Nobody knows because nobody heard of them.
That's true. Yeah, it's a band called Pine Grove. They put out a record called Cardinal. That's great. You should all go pick it up. And then
will that blow out my eardrums?
No. It's like acoustic sort of stuff. You'll like it.
Okay.
It's not like the stuff we put on at the bar in Chicago. That was way worse. That was brand new, which is great.
Okay.
And then, maybe if you put on All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Oh.
That's an undeniable classic, am I right?
The video's way better.
All right. Why don't you calm down there? Tell me more about what you got into in the 90s.
Andy, Merry Christmas if you celebrate it, but if you don't, try to enjoy it, all right?
David, happy holidays, and I will see you in the new year.
Okay, Andy. Andy's the best. Andy McCullough from the L.A. Times, at McCullough Times, and Ronnie Fascio loves fringe music as well, so he enjoyed all of those suggestions. And seriously, Andy, when you read his game stories, it's really great. I really enjoy it, and he does have a lot of connections around baseball since he has covered multiple teams before getting to L.A., and the sky's the limit for him because he's one of the best beat writers out there. And Andrew Friedman actually likes him more than he likes me, so you'll get some really good information, which isn't hard to believe. I'm sure Andrew has a top 20 list of people he likes a lot more than he likes me. So Andy is one of those top 20 people. So follow Andy on Twitter, at McCullough Times, for all the good Dodger news, and at LATimes.com to read his stories if you don't get that hard copy in the morning like I do. Anyway, we are running up against the final hour or final minutes of Nissan Dodger Talk, our final Dodger Talk basically for 2016. I don't think we're going to be on before the new year. So not only before Christmas, but the new year. And one thing, too, to keep in mind is on December 29th, which is a Thursday, and December 30th, which is a Friday, I will be filling in on LA Today with Leanne Tweeden. So we'll talk Dodgers those 2 days during the 12 to 3 hour, and we'll see who comes on the show. You never know who I could fish out of that Dodger swamp. So we'll find out who comes on the show. But I am wishing all of you happy holidays. I hope you have a great Christmas and happy New Year. And I think the Dodgers have made all the fans out there very happy by bringing back two guys that are not only great players, but two great people. And I think that's why Dodger fans are so emotionally attached to Kenley Jansen and Justin Turner. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help, not only during the offseason, but he works alongside Dave Magdaleno every night during the regular season. So thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Andy McCullough, for coming on the show tonight. And thank you to you for listening. Without you, there is no Dodger baseball. There is no Dodger talk. So thank you, Dodger fans, and all the best to you. We will talk to you after the new year. And if you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at AM570LASports.com. Have a great night, everybody. See ya!